Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. And good morning to you, James Houston Turner.
Oh, good morning, LaVon. It's so good to be here. Bright, sunny day. You know, perfect day.
Beautiful day. Well, James, you've been writing, I think, for a long time, starting when you're a kid. But we're going to start out talking about your two books. So one of them, Department 13, was the best thriller of 2011. And then you followed up with Greco's Game. And I think we have to talk about Department 13 before we can talk about Greco's Game. Could you give us a brief synopsis of those?
Yes. I used to do some smuggling behind the Iron Curtain, and it got me in trouble with the KGB. They couldn't understand why anyone would be giving away food, clothing, medical supplies, and they knew I had to be CIA. That was their suspicion. So I was actually being followed, but there was a good guy KGB agent in Moscow who leaked word out through a network of underground contacts that I was actually being followed. So that is what gave me the idea of a good guy KGB agent who's a spy for America, who worked for us during the Cold War. So Department 13 is this man, based on that man, but now he's retired and happily married to a woman he does not love. But when this group of killers from his past break into his home and gun a bunch of people down, he finds that he has unwittingly fallen in love with the woman he must now fall out of love with if he's to save her. So it's this kind of internal turmoil while he's trying to dodge these killers. The police are after him, these killers are after him, and he's on the run, and he has no idea why they have targeted him.
Mm-hmm. And so then we go to Greco's Game. We're going to follow this guy some more? Is that, or have you kind of given us...
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Greco's Game. What's the meaning of Greco's Game?
The title, LaVon, comes from the very first recorded chess match played in 1619 by Gioacchino Greco. And that game is famous for its queen sacrifice and checkmate in only 8 moves. And the Russians, they study chess like we study football, you know, or baseball. They have a lot of analogies compared to chess like we do with, you know, what's the game plan, or he pulls an end run. We have a lot of metaphors based on sports. Well, they study chess and the chess strategy. So there is an assassination plot built around Greco's Game that Kalinov, as he, and the book opens, his wife has been killed, he spirals downward, but becomes swept up in a human trafficking operation being run by the Russian mafia in Los Angeles. And he finds himself pushed to the limits. He's trying to find out who killed his wife, but he also finds himself defending the victims of this human trafficking ring, you know, being pushed again to his limits. And he, again, has no idea what's going on or who they want to kill.
Well, I want to go back in time a bit, but before we do that, let's tell people how they can find these two books. And I know you've written several others, but the two books that we're right now talking about, Department 13 and Greco's Game, how can people find those when they love to read thrillers?
Well, you know, online is so convenient today, and so I would suggest either Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. So there's some other online sites they can just Google them if they want, or go to my website, JamesHoustonTurner.com. There are links there to the various sites, and they can be ordered, of course, through bookstores. If they want a printed copy from the local bookstore, they can do that, but online, the Kindle or the Nook versions are available, as well as printed versions that will be shipped right to your door. So that's kind of convenient these days.
All right. So if this is what you love, just get in here. And it sounds like to me, James, that lots of character building here. You want to get acquainted with these characters. James, let's go back now in time. What was the title of the first piece that you wrote back when you were a kid? What was the name of that piece?
Oh, gosh, I think it was The Adventures of Cornelius Cadiddlehopper. It wasn't that imaginative. You know, if you remember Red Skelton, he had a clam Cadiddlehopper, so I was fascinated with that title. So I took a spinoff of his kind of his brother and wrote this series of corny short stories. But I had teachers and parents who, instead of going, you know, don't be so silly, they channeled that energy. And I kept writing, and I was a daydreamer of a kid, and so I imagined adventures My granddad, for instance, used to trade with the Osage Nation down in Oklahoma Territory, and I grew up with stories of the Wild West and adventure. So that is sort of what I kept doing most of my life.
Mm-hmm. And you certainly have had an interesting life, a varied life. The another book that I want to mention had something to do with potatoes. Yes.
You did your homework, didn't you? Yes, it was. It was the Spud book, 101 Ways to Fix Potatoes. And that book came, I heard about a guy who wrote a book, 101 Ways to Fix Hamburger. And I thought, well, if he can do it, something like that, I can do something like that. And so I thought, well, I can't obviously do hamburger. Why not potatoes, hand in hand? So I collected recipes from family, from strangers. I'd walk up to people I met on the street and say, do you know how to cook potatoes? And they would give me the weirdest looks. You know, what? Who are you, man? So, but I did. I got recipes from all over the country. I gave people credit for those recipes and happily taste tested every one and put together that recipe book of potato recipes.
And that resulted in some TV experiences.
Yes, I got hired by French's Foods, who sent me on a coast-to-coast Spud tour, cooking potatoes for television audiences like Regis Philbin and Pat Boone. I was on their shows, and I was one of America's first TV cooks. I would dash on into the camera and cook potatoes, and we just had a lot of fun. I learned a lot about people and potatoes, obviously, and cooking, but interacting with the public, and that is what I really love. Is there's a lot of enthusiasm over that book, and met a lot of terrific people, and that just gave me that love of getting together with people and meeting fans and readers, and it was just a great, great experience.
We're visiting with James Houston Turner, author of a number of books, but the most recent ones are Greco's Game and Department 13. We've talked here, we've got a chuckle here, but let's turn to something more serious, and that is, I think you've said, the impetus to really get writing and get serious about your writing, and that was your bout with cancer. Let's talk about that a bit.
Yeah, well, that was a real milestone moment, LaVon. It was just, obviously, out of the blue, here I am, a young man, strong, healthy. My grandparents all lived into their 90s, so all of a sudden something blindsided you like that was a real shock. But it started in my jaw. It grew to the size of an orange. We had no health insurance in America. The doctor said, sorry, buddy, can't help you, and just walked out of the room. The operation in the States at that time, and this was in 1990, would have cost $200,000. I would have gotten a steel bar for a jaw and no guarantees for anything, obviously. So my wife, being Australian, called home, asked if there was help available there, and there was. So with literally weeks to live, we flew to Adelaide, Australia, and a team of surgeons opened my face up like a book. They removed that half of my jaw. They made a new jawbone out of hip bone. They took skin from my arm and vessels and arteries and rebuilt my face, vascularized it, plugged it in on the other side, hit the switch, and I lived. And they really only gave me 18 months to live, but it's been over 21 years now of beating the odds. But before that time, LaVon, I was kind of seasonal writer. You know, a lot of people are in love with the idea of writing a book, but, you know, it's hard yakka, as the Aussies say, hard work. And it just takes hours and hours and hours, and that's to do the easy part, which is write the book. So this line in the sand, as it were, was my life-changing moment, that fork in the road where I knew I couldn't quit and move on, and as I'd always done before, I had to stand and fight. And by surviving that, it made me realize I need to pursue my passion, my calling, as I believed it was, to write and tell stories. And that's what I've been doing, and I've been doing it passionately ever since, as often is the case when people experience a major event like this. It changes their life, and this one did mine.
And as a result of that, not only your writing, but you speak to a lot of different groups around the country. Will you be in Iowa anytime in the next year?
Well, I was there last year. I had a magnificent time. I just, I absolutely fell in love with that part of the country. I'd never really been there. I grew up in Kansas, but, you know, to get up in that gorgeous country. So I'm planning to come back in next year, 2013. I'll have another couple of books out, and I'm just kind of salivating to get back there. I met some wonderful, wonderful people who have become like family to me, and so the short answer is yes, I'm coming back. You
all
can't
right.
keep me away.
Well, we will keep on your website and find out when that is, and maybe we can visit again. We want to thank you very much, James Houston Turner, for visiting with us this morning. And
it has been my pleasure. Thank
you. Great, thank you. Until next time, here's a thought. The best cure for grief is action.